I'm not one of these that go around blames everything on the devil. I'm not like that because everybody blames everything on the devil. Well, my shoes wore out. Don't go around acting like that, okay? But I am telling you, there is spiritual warfare, and the enemy knows he can't stop me, but he can hinder you, right? I'm telling you. So you need to be aware of that, and you need to be on guard. And what I feel like God wants me to do this morning, I'm basically just going to wrap up everything God has already been saying this morning. Everybody's done preached my message. A little upset about it, to be honest with you. Don't really appreciate that. Drove a long way to be here, and I just get sent preaching. No, I'm just playing. But I think we've kind of been where you're going to some degree. And I think that God has allowed me to see some things that I think can help you. Honestly, I really do. I don't know everything, but I know all the mistakes that we've made, and maybe I can keep you from doing that. Amen. But let's read Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I just got a new Bible, and I tell you what, I love it. Verse 1 through verse 8. The Bible says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Hovering around him were mighty seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with the remaining 2 they flew. In a great chorus they sing, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' The glorious singing shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke." I believe we had some of that this morning, didn't we? "Then I said, 'My destruction is sealed, for I am a sinful man and a member of a sinful race, yet I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphim flew over to the altar and picked up a burning coal with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Lord, I'll go. Send me.'" Amen. I want to speak this morning on entering a struggle. And I may have even spoken a little bit on this before, maybe even here, but God has given me something fresh for this morning. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, I pray that You would sear this in our heart and our conscience. Your words, God, that are spoken today, that we will not forget it. Lord, I'm not into preaching sermons or messages, God. I'm here to deliver a word that You've given me. Father, I pray that we'll never forget it, and that we would obey it, and that we would do all that, God, that You've told us to do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. Now, you might be wondering, who is King Uzziah? You know, the book of Chronicles called him Uzziah, but he's known as Azariah in the book of Kings. Azariah may have been his given name, and Uzziah was a throne name given to him when he ascended to power. Uzziah reigned for about 52 years, and he was a godly leader. But he made a mistake toward the end of his reign. He went into the temple to worship, and because the priests weren't there, he took the authority as the priest and began to do priestly things, and God smote him with leprosy. And he served out the rest of his reign separated from God's people, quarantined because he had leprosy in a separate home. But now, he was a godly king, and he made that mistake. And what Isaiah is talking about here, this man died, and the whole nation was in mourning because he was a good king. He did the right thing. He was a godly king. He made a mistake. You ever notice though in the Bible, David did things that got other people killed? David did this. David took the ephod from the priest and went into himself and sought God. God didn't do anything to David. You ever notice that? David went in and ate the showbread. If you are after God's heart, you can go in God's presence and you don't have to worry about protocol. You don't have to worry about going through the motions. You don't have to wait on somebody to tell you it's all right. If you're somebody like David, see, David did things that got other people killed because David was after God's heart. That ain't my sermon, but I could go there real quick. Amen. So this morning, if you're after God's heart, you don't have to wait on the music. You don't have to wait on somebody to tell you it's okay. You don't even have to be in the church house. You can be in your living room or in your car. You can go boldly before the throne of grace. Listen, you can hear from God for yourself. Amen. You can lay hands on your kids when they get sick. You can prophesy. You can witness. You can be everything God wants you to be. Listen, we got to tear down this caste system that exists in the American church. There is no big eyes or little U's. There is no super spiritual people. There is nobody better than anybody else. Amen. Listen, you're a child of the Most High God. Amen. You're a child of the Most High God. And the blood He shed for you and you and you and you and you and every one of us. Amen? Amen. I don't care if you, what you're doing or what your job title is or how much money you make or where you come from or whether or not you know your daddy or not. Listen, none of that matters, guys. And all that garbage, it's just got to go into church. I'm so sick of it, I can't stand it. Amen? I'm sick of it. What are we doing? The only reason we're doing, we're trying to protect insecure people. There you go. That's my little sermon before my sermon. I'm not going to get on my soapbox this morning, but I could real easy. But what I'm talking about this morning is when the king died, Isaiah's in a bit of turmoil. And so he goes in to seek the Lord. And the name Azariah means the Lord has helped. And the name Uzziah means my strength is the Lord. So at Uzziah's death, Isaiah no doubt feels that God's strength and his help have just left him. And he begins to examine the culture around that he lives in. He's distraught and he goes to God in prayer and he gazes into the face of God and he is transformed forever. Most of us today would love to have an experience like Isaiah had. We would love to see God in all His glory, but God's glory will expose you. See, these are things that we don't want to talk about. I just want to talk about real stuff for a minute, amen? Let's just be real. Let's not fake it. Let's talk about some real stuff. Let me tell you what real encounters with God looks like. A real awakening, a real transformation looks like. Let me tell you what it is. It is a struggle. When you say, I want to look into the face of God, I want to see true, unadulterated revival, I want to see an awakening, whatever you want to call it, whatever catchphrase we attach to that, what you're really saying is that I want to enter the struggle. I am willing to be exposed. I'm willing to go into the presence of God, as David said, and search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked thing in me. That's a bold prayer, and it takes guts to do that. And most of us don't want to do it because we're too busy hiding our sin. But you can't hide your sin from God. It's time that we go into the face of God, go into His presence, and say, God, here I am. Just expose me. Expose me for who I am. Let's just get clean and honest before the Lord. How about that? Let's come clean. And I said, oh my goodness. Isaiah was a prophet of God. He was a godly man. But he found out that, you know what? I'm undone and I'm ruined. What in the world am I going to do? First thing that happens when you see God high and lifted up is it exposes you. Have you ever been exposed? Have you? Have you ever had sin in your life? Have you ever been in prayer one morning and God just drops something in your spirit and says, you need to deal with this? Man, I have. About 15,000 times, have you? Maybe just me, not you guys, but have you ever just been driving down the road and worshiping? Stuff happens when you worship, don't it? Sometimes stuff you don't want to happen. Stuff gets on your mind. You know what? You got some unforgiveness you need to deal with. But I'm worshiping. Can't you just leave me alone? Let me? I'm really enjoying this song. I got to turn it down now. This, right? It exposes you guys. So when you're saying, I want to see God in all His glory, what you're really saying is that God exposed me. Come and show me all the junk in my life. Listen, we need some people like that today. We need some people that walk in repentance, that walk upright before the Lord in honesty and a purity to say, I don't know everything. I don't have everything figured out. I've got some problems, but thank God I'm working on them. Amen. You can sit there and act like you don't have any problems, but let me talk to your wife for 5 minutes and I'll find out how good you really are. Amen. Anybody can fake it for a few hours every week. But if anybody went home and lived in our closet for 2 weeks, nobody would come to church anymore, would they? Expose me, Lord. Expose me. I was praying one morning in the church. I used to go to church every day at lunch, and I'd pray for an hour, and I was praying. And has God ever asked you a question? When God asks you a question, He's not really looking for an answer because He knows everything, right? But when God asks you a question, He's really trying to teach you something. And I was praying through the tabernacle prayer, and I entered His gates with thanksgiving. I entered His courts with praise, and I come to the brazen laver where you're supposed to repent and wash yourself and prepare to go into the presence of God. And I think I'm doing it. God, forgive me of whatever it is, you know, God, that I'm doing, and blah, blah, blah. God said, is repentance or prayer, is it a process? I was just praying. So it must not be that. The Lord began to teach me what repentance was. It's brokenness. It's having anxiety over your sin. It's being willing to have penance for your sin. And so you know what I did for the next few months? I said, God, break me. Don't ever do that. I'm serious. Don't ever do that. But I'm telling you what, guys, if we are willing to pray those kind of prayers, to say, God, if it takes me being broken into a million pieces, if I almost have a nervous breakdown, and I lose almost everything that I own financially, and I can't even pay my bills, if that's what it takes, and that's what happened to me, God, break me into a million pieces and make me what you want me to be. Guys, I realize that I'd rather be in God's hands broken into a million pieces than not be in His hands at all. I'd rather be His mess than to walk around and think that I got it all figured out. Amen? So it exposes us. The next thing it does, it transforms us. When God exposes you like He did Isaiah, it throws you into a cocoon, into a process that you've got to struggle. You've got to change into another form to be transformed. Transformation occurs when we look into the face of God. That experience threw Isaiah into a cocoon so he could begin to undergo transformation. Listen, when God exposes something in your life, He does that so He can transform you. That's why the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants to renew your mind so that He can make you what He wants you to be. We've all got bad attitudes. We've all got wrong thinking. We all grew up with all these things in our life. God is one to take us and put us in this struggle. Listen, guys, the biggest struggle you're going to have is not with the devil. It's with yourself. It's with your flesh. It's with your attitude. It's with your outlook. It's with the way that you see the world. Listen, that's the biggest struggle that you got to have. Amen? Amen? Your biggest enemy ain't the devil. It's you. And it's me. It's the guy I look at in the mirror every morning. It's this flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? This is dead man that I'm carrying around and have been for the last 21 years. It's that man that I carry around that sometimes has a bad attitude, that sometimes wants to be bitter, wants to be angry, and all these other things. It's that guy that I got to keep nailing to the cross every day. Amen? It transforms, and then it exposes our culture. Now, Isaiah said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? Because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Let me ask you something. Did the experience of seeing God high and lifted up create the unclean people? No. no more than the light in your house creates the dust that you see. You ever notice that? You ever go, ladies, maybe some of you guys, if you ever dust. You ever dust a house, clean it top to bottom, and it looks clean, but then you open up the blinds, and what do you see on the table? Dust. What do you see in the air? Did the light create the dust? No, it exposed the dust. It exposed the light of God's Spirit in our life will expose the culture that we live in. We should stand in the middle of Pineville down here and just say, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For I have seen God. We should be concerned. We should be disturbed about the culture that we live in. Amen? The people were already like that. God's light exposed it. And let's look over in Mark chapter 9 just for a minute. Verse 1 through 9. I'm almost finished. So what are you saying, preach? Here's what I'm saying. If you want to see a true, sovereign move of God, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle with yourself, and it's going to be a struggle with your culture. It's not all fun and games. It's not all glamour and all that. Actually, it's hard work. Guys, I've lived in a county that has seen transformation. I have literally seen God heal our land. I have seen fish in our river that hadn't been there for 60 years. I've seen churches come together, 63 of us, and 3,500 people repent. Listen, this awakening started in 2008 in Cumberland Gap when thousands of people from all over the world prayed in one of the most popular places to practice witchcraft in the world, Cumberland Gap. Did you know that? And God broke something in the spirit. And when we prayed and repented in Clay County, something broke in the heavens and God began to transform our community. But our community now is worse than it's ever been. See, you're not going to see that on DVDs and CDs and all that. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen? And I can run around here and tell you all the great, but I want to tell you what you got to look out for. Amen? Are you listening to me this morning? Man, I'm not interested in preaching sermons. If I preach and you don't listen, then I've wasted my time and we've wasted God's time. Guys, this is a word from God. It's not a word from Joe Farmer. Listen, God is taking you somewhere. But you got to know where He's taking you and you got to know how to act when you get there. Amen? Jesus went on to say, I assure you that some of you standing here right now will not die before you see the kingdom of God arrive in great power. Now, I find this next verse kind of interesting. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of a mountain. No one else was there. And as the men watched, Jesus' appearance changed. And his clothing became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly process could ever make it. Then Elijah and Moses, the prophets and the law, appeared and began talking with Jesus. Teacher, this is wonderful, Peter exclaimed. We will make three shrines, three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He didn't really know what to say, for they were all terribly afraid. Then a cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly they looked around, and Moses and Elijah were gone, and only Jesus was with them. As they descended the mountainside, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The kingdom of God with power Jesus spoke about was this demonstration of his preeminence over the law and the prophets. Peter said, I know what we'll do. Let's build a church. Let's build three churches. Don't build a tabernacle every time God does something. We have entire ministries that exist simply because of one thing God did 50 years ago. And everything that comes out of the pulpit, everything they talk about, everything they do is all about that thing that happened. Why do you think we have TV preachers and all they talk about is money besides the fact that they get $20 million like some of them? It's all that comes out of their mouth. One day they seen the Word of God work and they built a tabernacle and they camped out and they never left. It is okay to memorialize things God has done. If you go over to Rollins Stinson Park in Clay County, on the ground, there's a little footstone out of marble that commemorates the march in 2008 when God moved in our county. But let me tell you the problem with that. There's nothing wrong with memorializing things. All throughout the Bible we see when God done a great feat that they'd stack up stones. They would do different things to memorialize that. Build a memorial, not a movement. Are you listening to me? Build a memorial and remember what God has done, but move on. Is that what you were saying earlier, Pastor? Quit trying to make a movement out of everything. My goodness, we had an unbelievable church service and everything was awesome and we try to reproduce that time and time and time again. And you know what we do? We wear it out. Amen? Listen, we've got to be moving forward. We can't sit still, guys. We can't sit still. Jesus is the focus. Jesus, let me tell you something. Every revival I've ever seen or been a part of, Brownsville, you study Azusa Street, Toronto, whatever you want to call it, the Great Awakening, all of those revivals stop when they become man-centered and man-focused, and the same thing happened in Clay County where I live. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Because I want to see a sovereign move of God. And I want to see it done right. But every time we start sticking our little fingers in it, we mess it up. Listen, stop worrying about what to call it. Just keep lifting up Jesus. Are you hearing me? Jesus is the focus. Not great services. Not conferences. Not meetings. Jesus. Not the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Listen, stop worrying about what to call it or what to do with it. Just keep lifting up Jesus. It's Jesus that saves. It's Jesus that heals. It's Jesus that sets free. It's Jesus that brings victory. Well, we live in a culture of this corporation that we live in, and we got to brand everything. All I heard for years is transformation, 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 transformation. We're after transformation. We want to see our community. Let me tell you something, all that's good, but what we got, all we got to worry about is seeing Jesus high and lifted up. Don't print t-shirts and hats. Attach some kind of catchphrase to it. It's about Him, guys. Are you hearing me? There's nothing new. There's nothing strange. Listen, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. How do you lift Him up? You lift Him up every day at work. You lift Him up in front of your kids. You lift Him up when you pray. You lift Him up in your life. You exalt the Lord and not your flesh. You prefer your brother. You love one another as Christ loved you. You just lift Him up in your praise and your worship and your dedication and your giving. When you do it all selflessly, that's how you lift up Jesus. We've got the recipe for awakening, whatever you want to call it. We've got it. And His name is Jesus. Keep Him the focus. Amen? Jesus is not the center of your life. He is life. Are you hearing me? If I put Jesus in the center of your life, no. You don't arrange your life and then reserve some little spot in the middle for Him. No, He comes in and said, wait a minute, I am life. I'm not the center of your life. I am your life. I'm the reason your heart beats. I'm the reason you breathe and live. I'm the one that calls you to live and move and have your being. Hallelujah. I've lived in a county that's experienced transformation. But when Jesus ceases to be the focus, revival and awakening will die. Stop talking about revival and transformation and just continue to lift up Jesus. That's all we got to do, Pastor. Change your conversation. We don't need a catchphrase. We need Jesus high and lifted up. I hope you're hearing me this morning. God, I'm doing my best. I want to see the Lord. Let me tell you something. It wasn't a movement that saved me. It wasn't a revival that saved me. It wasn't some kind of catchy sermon that got my attention. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that arrested me, that got a hold of me and got me under conviction. It was me laying in the bed and I trembling under the power of the Holy Ghost because He was dealing with me. God says it's Jesus that sets the captives free. It's not Jesus and anything. It's Him and Him alone. The mark of revival is not good church services. Listen, I thank God for good church services. It's so good to be with you this morning. But I'll get on Facebook when I get home and I'll hear all the people talk about what great church services they had. They never talk about anybody getting saved. They never talk about anybody getting set free from addiction. They never talk about anybody being set free from depression or oppression. Let me tell you something, all the church services in the world ain't worth a hill of beans if people leave here the same way they came. Say amen or owe me one. That was weak. What good is it if we come in here? And listen, y'all got the greatest worship music. And I think I pulled a hamstring just watching Jill worship a while ago. It's exhausting. I looked at Ernie once. I said, if I wasn't out of shape, I'd shout. I can't do that anymore. I pull stuff. I'm serious. I'm telling you, it's bad. I just have to stand there now and just. I'm one of those now. You remember those when you first got in Pentecost, those people that wouldn't move, so everybody just kind of swarmed around them? We're going to pray for you till you do something. Remember that? Remember that? You're going to move. Well, I don't want to move. No, you're going to move. I'm quiet and reserved. Not anymore, you're not. So give them a little courtesy shout or something, right? People will hurt you, right? I'm telling you, many more people hurt in Pentecost than anything I know. The mark of revival is not great church services, and thank God for it. I really enjoyed being in service this morning. But Isaiah seen God in all His glory, but he didn't build a tabernacle or try to reproduce the experience. He made Himself available. The mark of true revival is how will you respond to the question that God asked Isaiah, who'll go for me?